Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, it's your friend Nunu, and welcome to the Broken Earth Radio Show. We have so much stuff planned for tonight. We are actually jam-packed for 2 hours, and readings, and just everything. So let's not wait. Let's get started, and welcome to the Broken Earth Radio Show. And we're back. Are you guys ready? I sure am. It's time for our celebrity tea episode of Mary Kate and Trashley.
Hi.
Oh my God. Is that you, Mary Kate?
You know it's the Mariah Carey, I'm so hey. Gotta have your hand over your ear so you can make sure. Are you doing well, Trash?
Oh my God, I'm eating these almonds like a crazy man.
Oh man, you know you're eating too much. Put away those nuts and have some cigarettes.
I had two almonds.
So full. Wow, that's so rude.
I'm so sad.
Oh man. So well, let's get into it. Our last we had a moment. So let's make this one super deep. No. Super G.
So what's going on with is it Nicki Minaj? Is that her name?
Okay. Nicki Minaj. Okay, so everyone is flipping their lids about Instagram, saying that they want to make Instagram the safest place for social media on the internet, on the web, in the world. Instagram is taking it upon themselves to change the face of social media for the positive now after they've done negative things. So they want to take away likes from all posts. So if you put up a picture and normally and I thought it was cute or it resonated with me or somehow I would like it, you know?
Right.
Well, now Instagram, I think they're saying it's due to bullying and just wanting to create a more positive space. So they want to take away likes. And people are flipping their lids about it. And Nicki Minaj was the first person to call it out.
I mean, how can you be an influencer if you can't even tell if anybody likes your stuff?
Guess you won't be. Unless you're paying. So kind of like Facebook, where if you like post something up and you are trying to be you're an influencer and you want to raise that post, you have to pay a certain amount.
Right.
So maybe it's that. And since Instagram changed, you know, when I was frustrated with Instagram, that's when I stopped being on there a lot, was when they changed your feed. So they put more, they changed your feed from not real time. So it was kind of like, it was just whatever they felt was the most influential to you or how their algorithm what was more tailored to you. And then they started doing sponsored ads because it used to be whenever you posted something, it was a timeline. So if you posted something and then 5 minutes later, I posted something, like it would go in chronological order of the time.
I didn't realize it wasn't doing that because I'm still relatively new.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I've been on for like, maybe a year, 2 years.
Okay.
Maybe.
So, yeah, now they've shifted it. They do it at what is most relevant to you in your feed or what is most relevant to Instagram. And so Nicki Minaj is not here for it. And let's hear what Nicki has to say.
So, basically, no. Instagram is about to take away everyone's likes simply because this. Simply because they don't want you to go off on the side and being able to say, you know, I get this amount of likes and charging brands. They want you to have to pay them. See, if you pay them, then that's why we have all these sponsored Instagram posts. And that's why we changed up not having Instagram posts in chronological order.
So, interesting. It's an interesting take on it. And, you know, do we want likes? Do you need to know that someone likes it? Has liking things changed conversations? Has, you know, does it make you feel some type of way if no one's liked your picture, if no one's liked what you posted?
Yeah, it does. I mean, I posted something today that I was just like, I don't know. I mean, that's something that I might want to see to maybe pump myself up for the day, but I don't know if I necessarily want that, you know, representing me.
Mm-hmm.
And I posted it up, and I didn't tag it or anything like that. I just posted it up, and I only got like 2 likes on it, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to take that down.
So, you know, in some ways, if Instagram was actually, if they were actually doing this for move to actually make it safer, you know, psychologically safe, as they say, in, you know, in your workplace, in your home, at school, there are things that about making your environment psychologically safe, where you as an individual feel that your well-being, your mental and physical well-being is safe. And so if they were actually doing that, Instagram's motives were to do that,
right,
then that would be great. I would actually, you know what, I'd be all right about that, because I feel that it has triggered certain things in our identity where we need to, you know, these likes sort of say something about us. And I don't really think that it's affected us positively.
Right.
I feel that it has affected us negatively.
But you know what? Even taking the likes away is going to do the same thing.
Yeah.
They've created this reality, mm-hmm. and taking it away is going to have people go back to not knowing how people feel. But they're not going to know how they feel about that. When before, it was just like, well, I guess I'll never know what's on your mind. I guess I'll never know what your dreams are. And now we're so used to people telling us that it's like, huh.
But maybe it would be nice to go back to a certain, you know, quote-unquote old-school type of way where you actually had to, you know, get to know someone to know what they like.
Mm-hmm.
You actually had to have conversations with someone to know what they like, to know what they care
right.
about, as opposed to them just going and just posting up some picture and it just being like, I like that or I don't like that. And then that just shows you who you are. That just defines us now, too. It's just like, oh, well, that person likes this, and oh, let me, like, call. I don't know.
It's been going on for 10 years.
Mm.
So there's a generation of people that only understands that. They didn't understand. On MySpace, we just left comments, and that's how you knew if somebody liked something.
Right.
And when you had a whole thing of, like, a whole thread of comments,
mm-hmm.
then you were like, yeah, comment, hey. Which is still kind of like getting to know someone.
Right, right, yes. And it's creating a conversation as opposed to some sort of closed door, like, yep, this is good. Nope, this isn't.
Right.
Yep, this is good. And you're just scrolling past someone's life.
But the thing is they don't have they don't have dislikes.
That is true.
So that would be the thing that might be bothering somebody. Like on YouTube, they have dislikes.
Hmm.
They have thumbs
right.
up, thumbs down.
Right.
And I think I know there's other platforms that have the thumbs up, thumbs down, but a lot of those are like
written. Well, you're in school, and mm-hmm. you're not as popular, and you're trying to have that, and then a popular person in your school had everything that they proposed is like 500 likes, you know.
Right.
My cousin, I was mortified when I found out how many friends she had on Instagram. I was like, how do you even have this many friends?
Like, how do you even know that many people?
And, you know, and it's just like, it is what it is. And so if that person, what if someone is aspiring to be like her, or they think, oh, she's cool, and, you know, she and everything on her page has, like, you know, 100 likes or 50 likes, and only this person only gets 10. It's like, oh, no matter what I do, no matter what, I'm just not going to have that. There has to be some sort of conversation, and is the responsibility on us? Or is the responsibility on the platform? So Cardi has something to say about it.
Oh Lord, this child.
Meet me in the Bronx, Cardi. At 137.
Meet me in the Bronx.
And then we can fight about likes. Because I'll show you how much I like you.
And if you live, meet me in Brooklyn at 702.
That's what Cardi has to say about it.
It just took a weird turn. Was when people started to like the comments, when they were allowed to like comments or to reply back to somebody's comments. That's when I feel like people started like to saying nasty things out of hand. Like people will post news about, I don't know, something fucked up going up in another country, and somebody would just say something so vile because they want a reaction. They want to have comments back. There's some people that don't have a life, so the only way that they could interact is arguing back with the people that's saying, oh, you're messed up for saying this, you messed up for saying that. I see a lot of people dedicate their time into saying the most craziest, absurd shit on comments just for likes and coming back. And I feel like that's what's messing up Instagram, and that's what's distracting people. And I feel like it also made people like not have a voice, not have an opinion. Like sometimes there could be a topic, and if the comments is favoring to something, I feel like people are gonna feel bad when they have their own judgment or they have their own thinking, but it's not going with what the comments are saying. So,
which is interesting, because I can kind of see that.
Yeah, I can see it, too. I mean, there's times, honestly, when it comes to comments me leaving them, for a long time I stopped leaving comments because I felt like the way people were reading them, they were misinterpreting what I was trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
And I just ended up feeling like stupid.
Mm-hmm.
So I stopped commenting on things for a really, really, really long time. And I was even telling you about some of these pages on Facebook that I, am or a member of or whatever, and how they're just so like negative and just so dark, and it's supposed to be something else. Like, there's an indigenous mother page.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, let's see what's up. Go on there. And there's, you know, people that ask questions about motherhood. And then there's people that just start being angry about white people, honestly. And they're calling them colonizers and that sort of thing. And it just ends up being this just like bitter page,
mm-hmm,
where everybody's sad about something. And it's just like, okay, I thought this was about, I mean, I know you need to be sad sometimes, but still, I thought this was, you know, people
gonna be more uplifting,
and trying to help each other out with different stuff. And it's just, and they're young. There's some real young girls on there because, you know, they're moms, they're new moms. And it's just like, some of the stuff is just so ridiculous. And it's just like, why are you making yourself sad,
mm-hmm,
over this stuff that I know is history, but you still need to be able to live now. You need, still need to be able to be in the now. But, and I just look at this stuff and I'm like, I need to leave this page and then I feel like, well, I'll give it another shot, or maybe I'll snooze it for 30 days or something.
Mm-hmm.
But regardless, it's
so. What if that page did not have likes? What if it didn't have? What if it was just posts? Scroll and you could see what, you know, and it wasn't like you could heart it. If someone had something to say, they would comment on
right,
it.
Right.
So it's kind of like the whole MySpace idea.
Mm-hmm.
And but there's no like, this is number one or everybody's down for this.
Mm-hmm.
It's, and then you could have more of your opinion. You could bring more to it
and not have an opinion on it because you see how many people like it.
Exactly.
Right.
What it, you know, what is your likes? What is your love worth?
Huh? You know, putting it this way.
You know, what is it worth?
Right. Yeah, but putting it that way, it really, it, I mean, I don't think it would matter to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really wouldn't. Putting it that way. But I know, like, there's things that I put on my personal page, and I want to have the likes and the ha-has and that sort of thing. Like, where's my ha-has at?
Mm-hmm. You know, it does something for you.
And people would have to ha-ha instead of just clicking it.
This now has changed our serotonin levels. It has changed how we get excited about things. One button, clicking a button, has changed that. And when you think about that, that is...
And something has to get it back to something has to get it back to normal. Like something has to get it back to normal.
Well, guys, hey, we would love to know what you feel about this, please.
Yeah, because that is a very, 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 very deep thing.
So when you call in, if you think, like, if you have something to say about that, that would be really awesome before your reading. We'd love to hear your thoughts on that. Oh, right. Well, that was deep. Trash. Turned from, like, whatever to, like, wow. These likes, man. Love.
It really is deep.
So, speaking of love and things turning back to light.
Oh, wow.
Solangerie!
What's up with Solangerie Knowles?
So, Solangerie Knowles is now divorcing her husband, I think, of 5 years.
Wow.
And it is a big to-do. Like, people are just like, what? Solange? They're getting divorced because she had a highfalutin wedding. I mean, her wedding was just the bee's knees. They did it in New Orleans. Trying to copy my wedding.
I know.
Trying to be us. But they had it in New Orleans, and everybody wore white.
Of course. I was going to ask if it was a white wedding.
It was a white wedding. You know, and it's like, okay, Solange. You know, what's up? They thought, everybody thought that this was going to be a big deal. Her husband, older than her, I think, by like 20 years or something.
Mm-hmm.
Alan Ferguson, he is a video director. And I feel he's directed for, what, Lady Gaga, Katy Perry. But his videos for Solange's album, The Seat at the Table, I think... catapulted her. I really, really do. They were just mystical, mystifying, gorgeous. I mean, just the landscape. It was really slow and methodical. They were just, beautiful, visually stunning. And I guess they started having issues kind of early on, some of the other guys.
Didn't she beat him?
What?
Doesn't she beat him?
Oh, my gosh, no. But apparently she is in a relationship already with another guy. Now, people were thinking it was her manager, but that's not it. It's some other cat who's 20, like 24, 25, girl.
Does she beat him?
No. They're not in an elevator. And, of course, fights are going to happen when there's $1 million on the elevator. $1 million on the elevator, as Beyonce says. But, yeah, Solange, it's over. And Solange doesn't have time for y'all. She doesn't have time for your speculation. She has no time for our speculations. She's like, Mary Hate, go on with your hate. Rise above. Come on and feed this energy. Come on and let's – I've gone through some things in my life. I am growing. She is letting us all know that she is in a place of peace and growth, and we need to catch up to her level. If we are not catching up to her level, then she is done. She has no time for your trash, trash lay.
Whatever.
She is like, oh my gosh, one of the old school songs from Solange, which is, she's like... They used to kiss all night, but now it's just no use. Tell me the truth. Am I losing you for good? Will Alan You are losing Solange for good. Second marriage, done. Where's the third? That's what I want to know.
Well, I hope it's with someone interesting because Solangeray Knowles is dull to me.
Oh, no, Solangeray.
I don't like Little Sister at all.
Oh, my God, you're like crump-tastical. So if Kim, oh, my gosh, I wish Gilbert was here because Gilbert used to read this website with me. I turned her on to it, crump-tastical.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And crump-tastical, they called Solangeray Knowles Basement Baby.
That is so rude.
They said that they never let her out, and that's why she didn't get the love. Because she had albums, she recorded music, she was doing her thing.
I know she did. I know. I think she's probably done a lot more musically than Beyonce. But I'm you know what? I'm not even really a Beyonce fan. I just like certain songs,
right?
Like Deja Vu and certain songs. And like when I saw Lemonade, I was just like, whoa. Oh, my gosh. You know, I just felt like we were, like I was at home. We were in Louisiana. And it was just like, yeah. But no.
Yeah, I love Solange. I really do. I would totally fangirl out for her.
Yeah. I mean, you know, my sister really
loves
her.
And we both have a penchant for older men. Older than.
What's
Make
her birthday?
Make sure you have your insure. I think she's a Cancer. Let's find out. Solange. I think we've started something. She is.
She's a
Booyah,
Cancer.
June 24th.
Yeah.
She's kind of.
Yeah, she's kind of got that low key thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. But of course, Beyonce is.
Virgo.
Loud and loud.
And nurturing and loving and giving.
And loud.
And everything fabulous.
And loud.
Oh, you are.
Well, so, what about, speaking of boring, Jennifer Garner, Ben Affleck.
Oh, my God. Okay. Let's just take a moment.
Okay.
What is that movie? 13 going on 30.
Yeah.
I freaking loved that movie.
That was a good movie.
When that movie came out, I mean, I was just like,
everybody
oh
loved
God.
That movie.
So obsessed.
Everyone loved
so
that.
Obsessed,
men
right?
loved that movie.
It's so cute.
Yeah.
So great. Mark Ruffalo. Would she be annoyed if we called her Jenny? I think she would.
She probably would be.
Jenny Garner. Vehicle.
And Mark Buffalo.
Mark Buffalo, yes. I want some Mark Buffalo dip. But that movie's so cute, and it just makes you think, oh, I'm going to love her.
Right.
You know, where you just are so attracted to a movie or film or character that you're just like, this person is just, in real life, is that. And I think she's probably like stale colonial white bread.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't want your bunny bread.
Yeah.
I think she's kind of like Goop for me. I need a little more risque. I need a Juliette Lewis. She was in a show with Juliette Lewis, too, where she was actually funny. She actually plays the person that you feel
like
Jennifer Garner really is in real life.
Yeah.
But she's good with those babies. She's and she was like, I'm done with this man, Ben Affleck.
He's real sober now, right?
Well, he has moments of sobriety and then not.
Is that what they're called?
Moments.
I have moments of sobriety.
Moments of sobriety. If he would stop dating these young girls who still want to party.
I mean, who's he dating now?
He's dating some chick, some Katy Perry wannabe called Katy Cherry. Her name is Katy Cherry.
Does she have red hair?
No, she's a blonde.
Oh. Because you would think that.
You would think a Katy Cherry would have red hair.
Yeah. Mm. That sounds really hella boring.
Yes, he's tired. He actually met her on an app called Raya. So Ben Affleck needs to have a date, and he goes on an app like all of the other humans in the world. And it's just like, don't you think that he would just go to some party or go to like, or maybe he shouldn't go to a party. Maybe he needs to go to some like, I don't know, book club.
a book club. Can you imagine being out like at a book club? Can you imagine going to a book club and you're ready to read like Chicken Soup for the Soul, and you're bringing your copy in, and you sit down, and Ben Affleck is sitting there next to you, and you're like,
hey,
you're supposed to pretend like you don't know who that is.
Yeah, you're supposed to not care. I think, you know what, though?
Am I supposed to offer you wine?
I think what ruined Ben, and not that he's ruined, he's not ruined, but I think what shifted his trajectory is Batman. I think when he was just not supposed to be Batman. I think it messed his whole world up, and he just had to have cocktails.
I don't know, because I don't follow him close
enough.
The gambling,
you know, eased him in, but then Batman just was like, cocktails, man. I just need cocktails.
Here's a side thing. Let me see. The guy... I stopped watching that show because it just started being so boring. The Handmaid's Tale... I stopped. I don't even know what episode I stopped on, but every time
I should have gone to season two, but I was just like, I don't feel like being depressed anymore.
Well, the thing is, I was watching it and I was all in for it. I was all about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when it came back, I watched a few episodes and it was just like, when it came back to, you know, season three.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, I just don't even care. And I was actually all about how Alfred left the baby with Off-Glen
mm-hmm.
to take to Canada. I was actually like, well, I mean, I guess Alfred was her food and she'd be running around with a hungry baby, but maybe that'll make her run faster. I mean, you know, I just, you know. But anyhow... It just, when it came back, I was just like, everything she was doing was just ridiculous, and I just was like, this is dumb. I just couldn't go any further. But my whole point is, nothing to do with the actual show. It's about the guy that plays Alfred's husband.
Oh, is that,
I'm trying to find his name.
Was that one of the Fines? I'm only thinking about season one. So.
Well, okay.
Oh, you're just like, no, okay, never mind.
Yeah. His name is Luke, but the guy that plays Luke is, I'm trying to remember his name. And I'm actually looking on here. There it is. O.T., It's Fagbenle, Figbenley, maybe? And he's a British actor. And I think he looks just like Ben Affleck. That's all I wanted to say. Oh, man. He does. He does.
So we'll have to put that. We'll have to put up a picture for your audience.
Yeah, of them side by side.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm like, this dude looks just like Ben Affleck.
He totally looks
like Ben Affleck. But anyway.
Well, we'll have to check on him in a little while and see how he's doing with his sobriety. All right. What else can we talk about?
Oh, okay.
Oh, well, you were talking about Katie Cherry, who's not a redhead. Let's talk about a redhead.
Oh, my God. So, okay. Christina Hendricks was who we adore because she's just hotness.
She is all things hot.
Yes.
And
she's
looks a good actress.
I know. She's an amazing actress. She's great. She was on Busy Tonight last year.
And Busy. R.I.P. Rest in peace for Busy Tonight.
And she was talking about, you know, how she loves Busy style, which we do. And she was saying that, you know, she never lets her husband see her in sweats or yoga pants or anything like that. Like, she always wears dresses. And she always wears, like, calfskins and stuff like that, always.
Girl, that's fire.
And her husband is Jeffrey Aaron.
And I have issues with Jeffrey with that begin with a G.
Yeah.
You
Joffre.
Are suspect.
Joffre.
When you, yeah, like, I think you are suspect if your name is Jeffrey and it begins with a G. Anyway, that's my own little Kanyeism.
If you don't know who he is, you will not know who he is unless you look him up. And he is an actor, and he always plays kind of nerdy computer type geeky guys. And she's so way hotter than he is. But this is what she says. The Mad Men alum and her actor husband have called it quits after 12 years. After all that about talk about how he never gets to see her and blah, 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 blah.
Can you imagine doing that for 12 years? Girl, bye.
I have a hard time just doing it for a little bit.
I mean, you are going to see me in my night-night clothes. You're going to see me in my comfy clothes.
Yeah.
It may not be jogging pants. This is going to be like stretch pants. It may be a t-shirt.
You're
going to
see
maybe
me being
just
a human
shirt.
Being.
Yeah, like I don't have to live up to some fake expectation of what it is when I'm getting, quote-unquote, dressed.
And also,
I'm in my home.
Any man that really and truly makes you be like that, that may have just been what she wanted to do, honestly.
Yeah.
But if any man makes you do that, it's extremely insecure. But anyway, it says they announced the news of their split on October 17th in a joint statement on Instagram. Okay.
Oh, God.
12 years ago, we fell in love and became partners. I'm trying to do her voice.
Okay.
We joined our two amazing families, had countless laughs, made wonderful friends, and were blessed with incredible opportunities. Today, we take our next step together, but on separate paths. We will always be grateful for the love we've shared, and we'll always work together to raise our two beautiful dogs. They got married on the 11th. Of October in 2009, and so they officially became separated on the 17th.
I'm so over this. What do they call it? This. What did Goop call it? What did Gwyneth call it? A conscious uncoupling. I'm so over these blasé, freaking over-the-top statements of like, oh, we're moving on to, you know, like, just you don't even have to even acknowledge it. You don't have to even talk about it. If you don't want to, because that kind of stuff is just like straight Charmin. I mean, and I'm not wiping my ass with it or yours. Like, calm down.
Yep.
Our dogs.
Dogs.
God. Jeez.
And then here's like a picture. Ugh. Here's something of Adele and Simon Konecki. And I swear, I don't know what he looks like, but Adele is just like too... I'm so sick and tired of women who are just too much being with these people that just aren't enough, you know? And it's like, then they get divorced and you don't, but regardless, if you're with someone who's insecure, they're going to do stuff because to make them feel safer. And, you know, and then, and you've been like kneeling to be in it.
Yes. Who knew we would be talking about all these, like, divorces?
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Wow. Okay.
meanwhile, but Angelina and Brad, they didn't come out with a statement because they still in their bitter divorce. I mean, goodness gracious. Goodness. I mean, they're still going down through there.
It started funky, didn't it?
Well...
It started funky.
Yeah.
It's easy to catch a chicken that's tied down. I'm just going to say that.
Ooh. Ooh, that's another question we can ask your audience. Do you guys think that it's easier to catch a chicken when it's tied down? And do you want that chicken? Are you going to fry it? Are you going to turn it into a Popeye's sandwich and stand in line for it and then stab someone? Let's talk about this. People are stabbing people to get a chicken sandwich. $3.99. You're in line.
And you're dead.
And then you're dead. You jump someone because you need that chicken sandwich so bad. And then that person is just chaotic and crazy that they're going to stab you and to death. Stab you to death. Stabbed.
And nobody got a sandwich.
And no one got a sandwich. Because now you ran off and you're going to be in jail and this person is now dead.
And they probably have to shut down the Popeyes. Nobody gets a sandwich.
And I bet you $1 million some person is going to get a chicken sandwich and leave it as an RIP. Like, pour one out for my homie. with a $3.99 chicken sandwich.
And it was a riot because the place gets shut down for the police to come.
Lord.
Well, just serve me real fast before the police get here and they make this a crime scene.
I'm already been in this lot for 15 minutes. I need my chicken sandwich.
Or on his way to on their way to book the guy, he's like, "Can you just stop at this Popeyes up here and just get me a chicken sandwich?"
Oh my gosh! Yeah, okay. So do we have time to talk about some Juliana Rancic?
You mean Juliana Rancid?
Oh my gosh! Right? Who knew that they would trot her back out? You know, I was okay. That she was somewhere done. You know, just done. But they have tried, E has just could not get enough of her.
Mm-mm.
They couldn't, they were like, you know what, when people think of E, they think of Juliana Rancic.
Oh my gosh.
Well, there was the People Choice Awards, and Juliana Rancic was there, and she was speaking to everyone, you know, red carpet, yada, yada, yada. Anyway, Zendaya just strolls. She does the, like, smiling because she sees other people around and she smiles and she keeps it moving.
Right.
But she doesn't say anything because Zendaya is that one. She's just a gorgeous little young girl who just thought that what Juliana Rancic said a couple years ago was not okay. And so for your audience, I just want to play a little clip.
Okay.
If I can hit play.
I love when she has the little hair. She just had it. I think this, she's in such a tiny frame that this hair to me overwhelms her. Like, I feel like she smells like patchouli oil. Or weed.
Yeah, maybe weed.
Legal in so many states.
Yeah, not? It's so legal now.
It's so legal.
So that's what I think. It's just, yeah, this look isn't working.
Okay. Fine, we'll tell her when we can figure out what to do.
So Juliana Rancic, a couple of years ago, when she was doing Fashion Police, had said that Zendaya had dreads for this look, and she looked really pretty. And she said that she was like, oh, she thought that the look was too heavy and overwhelming for her, and that she smelled of patchouli and weed. And it's just kind of like that statement is not okay. And it was offensive to Zendaya. It was offensive to a lot of individuals. And and then I guess Juliana had to have a fake apology, or maybe it was real to her. Maybe it really was real. When I looked at the apology, it just looked like someone who was just going through the motions.
Right.
But I'll let you guys listen to it. Hold on.
For a comment that I made on last night's Fashion Police about Zendaya's hair. Now, as you know, Fashion Police is a show that pokes fun at celebrities in good spirit, but I do understand that something I said last night did cross the line. I just want everyone to know I didn't intend to hurt anybody, but I've learned it is not my intent that matters, it's the result. And the result is that people are offended, including Zendaya, and that is not okay. Therefore, I want to say to Zendaya and anyone else out there that I have hurt that I am so, so sincerely sorry. This really has been a learning experience for me. I've learned a lot today. And this incident has taught me to be a lot more aware of cliches and stereotypes, how much damage they can do, and that I am responsible, as we all are, to not perpetuate them further.
So, you know, Juliana is back, and Zendaya gave her, she was like the girl by. She walked by and had no time because she was a grown-ass woman.
Right.
And this was a young girl because I think she was definitely a teen because this was a couple of years ago.
Right.
So, just like, wow.
I think, oh my goodness, they had Juliana Rancic apologize. And Kelly Osbourne was there too, and for some reason that Kelly Osbourne gets accused as well.
Yeah, but she didn't even say anything.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting. Now, let me say this. I think Zendaya is absolutely gorgeous. I mean, absolutely gorgeous. I do not like dreadlocks
mm-hmm.
at all.
Mm-hmm.
What she actually has are twists,
mm-hmm.
and they look adorable.
Mm-hmm.
And I normally think they look gross, but this looks nice.
She had the goddess locks, kind of. Basically.
Yeah, they're beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
They're really, really beautiful. And she looks like a little mermaid. I mean, she just looks just beautiful in this.
And
so that was mean. I mean, and I know that we, you know, this is what we're doing.
We're
dropping tea.
We're dropping tea and being hateful and trashly and, you know. But there's certain things, too. You know, there's a certain level of responsibility that you have at a certain level, too.
Yeah.
And this was, I mean, when you're talking about fashion and you're talking about culture and certain looks, then you're going to also have to have that responsibility when you are making jokes, knowing
right.
that what you're going to have to be accountable for, especially when you're dealing with a minor. And someone could say, well, hey, guys, hey, Mary, hey, Trash. You're doing that when you are making these comments about, you know, what we hear about the Drake situation,
mm-hmm.
you know, but how many people are tuning in to us? And knowing that this isn't just like facts, everything that we're spitting isn't facts. And so what is the responsibility there? And we'll take those lumps when it comes to our time.
Let me say this, too. In this article that I'm looking at, okay, that's from Cosmo, and they're talking about how Juliana had branded a few weeks ago Kylie Jenner's Instagram dreadlocks as edgy.
Mm-hmm.
And Kylie Jenner's dreadlocks look like, they look gross.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they really, I'm not even going to put an adjective on it because
right.
it just doesn't look good.
Well, it just lets you know, she does not understand her responsibility, and she doesn't understand what it is for a culture and what dreads mean.
Right.
And so therefore it's like, oh, so it looks this way on some person, and then on this other person, it looks like patchouli, and they smell like weed.
But the thing is that Zendaya's hair didn't look bad, and it also looked temporary.
Yes.
It didn't look like it was. It's all real neat, and you can even see like her smooth hair, and then you can see where it's like just twisted for the look.
And it's interesting to me, Juliana, with everything that has happened to her in her life, that she chose a job where her fears and her insecurities and all of the things on a high platform. I mean, and she chose something where she has all of these issues that she was dealing with, and then she chooses a job where she points out that in other people.
Right. Look at this.
Very,
I mean, I know you've seen this picture, but I know the audience can't see it, but look at this picture of
No, Zendaya. I know. Yeah.
She looks absolutely gorgeous.
It was
I mean,
great.
She looks delicate.
Mm-hmm.
She looks very, very pretty. That was
so rancid. That might have been rancid. And sometimes people move forward and it seems like probably Zendaya had moved forward, but she has no time for the nonsense.
Look.
Oh, yeah. That's Kendall. Yeah.
That's Kendall?
That's Kendall.
And so I think this is Kylie. That's Kylie here. Can you see it?
Yes.
Yeah. And they, it looks like a scarecrow. Whatever.
So anyway, People's Choice. And I didn't even know that People's Choice Awards even still existed. And we have to at some point start talking about what are these
award
shows. You know,
just
award shows used to be so great. Remember we talked about that with Kimber, with Gilbert. You know, we talked about, you know, award shows used to be so great. You used to have an event for them. You used to, hang out and watch them and watch red carpet and watch Joan Rivers and just have a lark and everything was cool. And now it's like really People's Choice Awards. We're still giving Jennifer Aniston Award. We're giving a fashion icon award to Gwen Stefani. You know, like she's, it just all seems very played out.
Yeah.
Very played out.
Yeah.
And then I guess.
Oh my goodness. Okay. I was thinking about this. The 90210 reboot.
Hey!
Sounds so horrible.
Yeah! So we all know that Brenda Walsh is about to step on the scene.
Now, when I saw it, I was so excited about it.
Were you really?
Yeah, I mean, because I liked 90210 back in the day.
I did too.
I
love Brenda.
I was so excited about it.
I love Brenda.
And I was also really excited about when Uncle Jesse toured with the Beach Boys.
Oh gosh, jeez.
Take it down to Kokomo. That was so horrible.
It is horrible, and you were excited about it.
Well, I was a kid. Anyway, so.
Good timing.
So it was kind of interesting in the beginning, and the 90210 reboot.
Right.
And I was watching it, and I was like trying to get into it, and I'm like, oh, was that true? Because they basically started out with it being like the characters.
Okay.
And then it was a dream or something like that. And then they're actually going to meet. It's the actors meeting for the, for a reunion. But of course, Brenda's not there. She had her reunion on Riverdale. She had her reunion on Riverdale when Luke Perry passed away.
Right.
So she said her words because that was the only one that she cared to talk to anyway.
Right.
So she did her thing on Riverdale. But anyway, so it was horrible. I'm just going to say it. It sucked. It was terrible. And I just thought it was one episode or something because I just couldn't see. I couldn't even get past the first of that episode. I was like, this is horrible. How can they continue this?
Mm-hmm.
But it's canceled, isn't it?
It is canceled. Fox, I think it was on Fox, right? Fox, it was just like, I think they had their 6 episodes, and then they were like, meh.
How did they even make 6 episodes? I just can't even imagine.
Well, you know, so, oh gosh, Jenny Garth and Tori Spelling, the mean girls of the 90210 old cast.
Right.
You know, because they just had it against Shannen Doherty, I think, and they, you know, there were lots of issues, and Shannen probably was a little bit of a B, but, you know, we as young girls kind of all are going through our
We're going through our B time
during puberty time, during our B time. And so, you know, you're dealing with a bunch of teens, and they just were not having it. Well, anyway, Jenny Garth and Tori, they've done shows together. They did another show before this, and they were just peas in a pod, and I guess they were like, well, it's time to do a 90210 reboot because, you know, they weren't doing anything. So what do we think about doing this, guys? And so they start getting everyone together and talking to everyone. Now, you know, they're talking to everyone before they're even remotely talking to Shannen. And they were producing it, and they had writers. These writers, and the word on the street, and blind items as well, was that things were just not going well during the start of of preparing for the show. Writers were left, producers, because they were the executive producers, the money, but producers were leaving because how they wanted the show to sort of be rebooted, they, Jenny Garth and Tori weren't into, and they also were trying to delay as much Shannon in the reboot as they possibly could.
Right.
Because they didn't want to have to deal with that.
Right.
And, you know, they're just thinking, oh, we're just going to be here and we're going to do our things. And I think I have, let me find some, let's see. Here, let's listen to what some of these chicks are saying about their roles on the show.
And, okay.
So we collaborated, everyone sat down, and it was kind of a back and forth, like, what are you willing to show? What do you not want to show? And they all, you know, created the characters that you're going to see in the series.
Who do you think was?
But it's like, you know, when did they create it? And when did it come about? And who was being talked to versus till the very end? And we
right.
know Shannon was at the very, very end. And it's kind of, you know, that's what happens. When you aren't really trying to have people really have a back and forth,
mm-hmm.
you know, really bring something together. And the fact that they thought, okay, we're going to do a 90210 reboot where we play ourselves, but this is kind of like a reality show, and it just doesn't even make sense.
Mm-hmm.
It's very meta. But it's not what people would be tuning into, because that's not what they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Because people are facing reality all the time, and there's lots of reality TV. They wanted to see these characters be these characters.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't, you know, they didn't want to tune in for you to be like, oh, I'm so meta, and we're going to do this, and we're going to pretend to be these characters, but have real lives.
Mm-hmm.
What does that even, you know? And they were asked on a show about having a second season, like, right when it started, because the hype was so big.
Right.
And missing.
Well, the original went 10 seasons, so
put it out there.
Well, she's talking about it too.
So they're just thinking that they're just going to get 10 seasons because the original got 10 seasons. Okay.
Wow.
You know, and no one would even go for 10 seasons of a 90210 reboot.
No.
I mean,
I don't see what there is to even be on, especially because they weren't playing the character.
Exactly.
They were just playing themselves.
People wanted to see what they were doing,
right.
What Brenda was doing.
Right.
You know?
They don't want to, and that, I mean, it was funny to see them afraid of Brenda for a minute,
mm-hmm.
but then it's like, okay, so now what are you going to do?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Boo. And you know, my thing is, Luke not being there, that was just not gonna, just wasn't gonna be, you know, and that makes me sad because I freaking love some Luke Perry. And that, you know, was, and I'm glad that Shannon was able to go on to Riverdale and like pay her respects in a very sweet and loving way with a cast that actually was like doing their
mm-hmm.
their love for him in like a way that was going to measure up.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And I just think to talk about timing. That was a fail of that. Timing and blondes upset about brunettes. Two blonde mean girls upset about one little brunette girl. Oh, Tori.
You can't compete with the brunettes.
You know? Oh, gosh, Tori Spelling. Although her show, her VH1 show,
mm-hmm.
Tori Spelling's, where she had a fake kind of Tory show. Now that was actually good, which is probably where she got this whole like, what if we did that with 90210? But that's a different thing. That's you, yourself.
Right.
You're
right,
not using
right.
a character that you portrayed.
Right.
That show was hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
It was hot. Too funny. And that's that.
Wow.
Are you quiet?
Now, I was just thinking about, like, what they did, like, how in the very beginning of the episode they had Shannon, like, kind of talking,
And then something was going on, and they acted like she was coming to get them, and they like, and they were all screaming because she was coming. You know, it was, yeah, it's crazy. Well, we'll talk to you guys next time.
Bye.
Everywhere you look.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Broken Earth Radio Show. We are going to start taking callers now. Also, before we do, I wanted to remind you that if you wanted to reach any of us after the show or just during, you know, regular downtimes, you can reach us through Broken Earth Radio Show on Facebook. Okay. I'm also available on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter under Psychic Nunu. Or if you are not a social media person, you can reach me through my Gmail, which is psychicnunu@gmail.com. It's literally just about impossible, you know, to not be able to reach us in some way or form. Okay. So if anybody has anything they wanted to add to any of the, you know, the little topics we were going on about, you know, please throw that in. If anybody has any like crazy things that have been happening with them, synchronicities, coincidences, you know, just anything that you feel like is profound, please share it. Please share it because we're all here for that. We're all in for that. Also, you know, over the next couple of weeks, we'll be doing some awesome movie reviews and also talking about some movies that you guys might want to check out for various reasons. Okay, so the first person we're going to talk to is the caller at 701. Hi, this is Nunu. Who's this?
Hi, Nunu. This is Laurel. How are you?
Hi, Laurel. I'm great. I'm really good. Have we spoken before, Laurel?
No.
We haven't? Okay. All right. So, well, why don't you catch us up with whatever's been on your mind tonight, sweetheart?
Well, I'm wondering if I'll ever meet my man. Or not mine, but I mean my significant other.
Why don't you share with us anything, like if you didn't mind, you know, sure. You know, any of the things that you've been experiencing recently?
Regarding love,
yeah, like yeah, exactly.
Well, I did meet someone, but then I found out he was married, of
mm-hmm.
course, yeah. And other than that, I haven't been with anyone for many years because I was raising my children and I didn't really make the time for it.
Yeah.
You know, they were my priority.
And that happened.
I didn't want to put them through another divorce, which they were really young, but and my ex and I get along well for them. So, you know, but anyway, I would like
okay.
to meet someone someday and spend time with.
Let me look at something here. Okay. So we are in a time of love. Okay. So, whoa. Okay, check this out. We got a story going on here. I know we're kind of looking for someone new, but in our story here, it looks like things are just kind of going along. Okay, you're doing your thing, you're living your life. And there's this individual that it kind of looks like the person that you met that's married might try to talk to you again, just so that you're aware, okay? And there is, hold on just a moment.
Sure.
There's another one. I'm trying to get past them, but I'm going to back up to the other one too. There is another one that's coming into the picture. And the only thing about this guy is because I have this card attached to him that's called like someone that you know well. And I don't have a return card. So it seems like there's something about him that like he may be familiar in some way, or there's just something about him that seems familiar to you. Okay, so just remember there's already a familiarity, but there's no return card. So that's just something that it, Spirit is pointing out. And then it says that he's also somebody who is very quiet. And in this, it says that he, you know, he does look like he talks to you, but he, but there's something about his demeanor that is still very quiet, like he's very calm. Okay.
Okay.
So that time frame, because you are actually in a time of love now, and the way that Spirit shows me time periods is kind of like one summer to the next. If I was looking at this like, okay, well, you know, when is this going to happen? This kind of seems like it's something that's probably going on in late spring. So just be aware of that. But I need to back you up to what it looks like is going to be happening maybe in January, like after the winter holidays. The person that it looks like you were dealing with before is trying to talk to you again. And it does look like there's been some changes. But you have an exhaustion card attached to you, like, what now? You know, but it still looks like you're talking to him. So there's something that it looks like that has actually changed in his life at this point. And it looks like he's trying to reconnect. But it seems like, you know, your wall is up, like it should be, like it totally should be. So just remember that it looks like he comes back around. And the name of this spread is actually called Delayed Love. And so it's just kind of saying like it represents what you were talking about with like how you were trying to do things in order. You know, you're trying to take care of your kids and make them priority and not get distracted with somebody else's stuff. It also represents like the individual that it looks like was trying to make a life change, but was doing it out of the proper sequence, you know, and, you know, and also the quiet man, because remember there's a quiet person that it looks like you're going to be meeting. So we'll kind of see how it goes, but yeah, you've got some stories here. You do.
Okay. Very cool. Thank you.
No problem, Laurel, and I appreciate you listening. I really do. And let us know, you know, keep us posted on how you are, okay, dear?
Yep, and I really enjoy listening to you. It was really fun listening to you, ladies. Thank you.
Thank you for that, because we're so silly.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
All right, you have a great night. And if I don't talk to you before, have a great Thanksgiving, okay?
You too. Thanks again.
Thank you, dear. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk to the callers at 845, and there's also a private caller we're going to get to. But this is Broken Earth Radio Show, and we'll be right back.
I met a man. He was a good man, sailing and shoring, dancing the beta can. Making the foreign, ah, yeah.
I wanna live on a Bangalore. a good man. Failing and soaring. You got a beta charm, man. Talking that foreign. Ah, yeah.
And we're back. This is Nunu, and you're listening to the Broken Earth Radio Show. Right now, we are taking callers. So, you know, we do have a few people in line, and we want to get to everybody. But we still, I think we still might be able to take a couple more people. So if you're listening and you wanted to call in, the number is 516-595-8294. All right, let's take the caller at 845. Hi, this is Nunu.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. It's been a long time.
Yes, yes, and what a great show. I love it. Added so much entertaining.
Yes. Well, I hope you got some ha-has in. I hope you got some laughs.
Yes, I did. And I also, I don't know, you mentioned that we could bring up, too, like, some instance that occurred. Could I share that and then ask you?
Oh, I'd love it. I'd love it.
Thank you. So I just walked into a room that was dark, and before turning on a light, I saw out of the corner of my eye, just like all these little stars, like little points of light, just like dancing. And only out of one eye, like my other eye wasn't even, like, I almost want to say the word aloud to see it. Like I just saw it, like just with one eye. I don't know, was it an angel or, and then as it lingered for a few seconds and then just everything evaporated. And I turned on the light, but it was like a light show. I don't know.
Wow. How did you feel?
Just very calm. Yeah, I had been thinking and praying a lot on things. I don't know. The only thing I could think, you know, nothing like that's ever happened to me before. I thought an angel, that's the only thing. I don't know.
Well, yeah, and you only saw it in one eye.
Yeah.
That's kind of interesting. That is kind of interesting.
I don't have vision problems.
Yeah. Well, you know, things like that, I mean, I do believe that those are like, you know, some people might call them fairies or, you know, our spirit guides, or, you know, like, you know, but I know spirit guides and fairies are different. I mean, all of these things are different things, but it's still to me, like you being able to see or being allowed to see something like this and the way that you feel is really, really important. Like feeling fine about it or feeling safe about it. It's a way of like showing you that the things that you've been trying to meditate on or trying to work on, you know, for the past month or so. Like, these are things that are starting to line up. You know, it's like sometimes we're given little signs for our own universe that tells us, you know, this is going to be okay. You know, this is something that's going to happen. And little things like that that we look for, they just kind of give us, they give us some peace. They give us some patience to know that things are working, like something's cooking, something's brewing. So, you know, it is interesting that it's something that you see out of one eye, because sometimes when you see dark spots, like peripherally or just, you know, on one side, you know, that has an interpretation too. And so I just kind of, you know, think it's interesting that it was something that you just kind of, you're looking at it and, you know, you shut an eye and you look at it and there it is. It is there, but I only see it here. So that's kind of interesting.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. The room was dark and it just like illuminated. Just it was on one side of the room and I could only see it out of one eye. I was just like taken, you know, aback. But again, at the same time, I wasn't afraid. I was calm, nothing. It was just like, you don't see this every day type thing, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Interesting. I actually think that's great. I'm glad that you it makes you feel better. You know, it gives you some confirmation. It does mm-hmm. make you feel better. Yeah.
Wow. Wow. I didn't think of it that way. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Thank you.
Well, what's been on your mind?
Well, it's a work assignment. I have two presently. One with a male who's a Cancer. And one with a female who's a Libra. And I don't know really like how to feel about either one of them. They're not like I could do them at the same time. It's not that, not like overworked or anything like that. It's, I don't know, like energy could be better, I guess. But I don't know. Is it just Mercury in retrograde and that made me kind of like crazy? Like, I don't know. If you can tell me anything.
Tell me how each of these people are making you feel. Like tell me about the chemistry you feel between you and like the either one of them, honestly, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, tell me about how you're feeling with their chemistry.
The male, the chemistry was pretty good in the beginning. And not that it's not too much now, but he's a little bit, like, he wants to be in control a lot, which I get. I understand, like, it could be a male-female thing. But sometimes it's to the point where it's overwhelming. So I kind of postponed things with him a bit. I was like, you know, let's pull the brakes here. And I knew it was Mercury, so I'm like, oh, maybe it's that. And, you know, I know it's direct now. I'm like, you know, I'll see how it goes, you know, in a couple of days I'll reach back to him. But yeah, it was getting like he was a little bit suffocating, I guess you'd say. And the woman, just sometimes I just feel like she's just lying. Like she's nice enough, but sometimes I just feel she's just out and out lying to me. Hello? Hello? Hello?
Hello?